Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Fly ball right field. Cam Smith comes in a few steps. 2-0 final. Hader. 21 straight saves to start the season. That matches a franchise record, Dave Smith in 89. And now the lefty Josh Hader in the record books as well. 1-0 last night, 2-0 tonight. The Astros, going back to last year, have shut out the Phillies in 28 consecutive innings. And Blummer, another series win, this time against a very good Phillies team.
I had no idea about that last stat that Todd Kalas dropped. Good job, Todd. Todd Kalas, Jeff Blum on the call, Space City Home Network. I only knew that the Phillies were completely inept at scoring runs against the Astros this season. Yeah. I didn't know that this little streak went back to last season, too. Seth, I was told by many outlets before this series, including The Athletic, which had the Phillies number 2 on their power rankings, I was told this team was good at baseball. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't know. Look, when you can't keep pace with the scoring deluge that the Astros dole out.
Yeah.
And any given night on Taylor Trammell night, you think you're going to show up and be able to win without scoring a run?
That's right.
That's not the way baseball works, baby.
Nope.
I'll tell you another thing. I was annoyed this morning. I was looking at some of the ESPN stats, and it said the Phillies haven't scored a run in 19 straight innings. And I'm like, oh, wow, that sounds rough. And I think, wait a second, 9 plus 9. Okay. All right, whatever the 9th inning of their previous game for the Astros series.
18 of those are ours. whoever they were playing before they got here doesn't get to glom on to these two shutouts.
They didn't. Ooh, and they didn't score in the 9th inning of the previous game.
And now you're going to make me go look and see what that game, like what the vibe of that game was. Like if it was like some 11-3 game and there were no runs scored in the 9th.
Yeah,
oh, I'm gonna be so mad.
So it's been very good defensively for the Astros. Colton Gordon, just a strikeout non-walking machine right there, dude.
Yep.
That was a nice performance out of Colton.
That
Gordon.
Is the, you know, that is the one common thing in these starts that these these spot starters have had. You know, like Colton Gordon and Brandon Walter and Ryan Gusto are regulars in the rotation now out of necessity, not because they planned it this way. But I will say the one thing about those guys, pinpoint control. Like they're not hurting themselves a lot with walks. Like they're pitching to contact a lot. You know, Colton Gordon, there were some hard hit balls. The very strange inning was the one. It was the one inning, I think, where he got into a little bit of trouble. He either put two guys on or he loaded the bases, where he gave up two completely Punch and Judy singles, but there were two screaming line drive outs. Yeah. You know, it's like one of those things where you're watching, you just watch that inning, you go, well, that's baseball right there. The two guys that put the best bat on the ball, who barreled the ball up, hit it right at guys. The two guys that are on base are guys that were barely able to make contact, but it landed behind the second baseman or something like that.
Yeah, and the Astros, they score their first run with Paredes hitting one into the gap where Trey Turner didn't get charged with an error on the play, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because it was not a hard hit ball, it hit his glove.
You're making $300 million. The official scorer should take salary into account when he makes his decisions.
Well,
you're $300 million shortstop. It hits your glove.
He made a great play later to get Paredes out.
Same exact thing.
I was like, okay, if he can do that, obviously. Yeah, so those were the things that peeved me. And otherwise, a fun night of baseball.
Right.
They made it interesting in the 8th by loading the bases, but Brian King worked his way out of it. With a really, that was the one. That was a really nice play by Pena, because the 3rd out was a chopper.
Yeah.
And Pena is almost like when you watch a – an offensive tackle eligible when he's in the end zone.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh gosh, the quarterback throws the ball slow, and you're like, oh, there's too much time. There's too much time.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting.
Well, there was a base runner running right in front of him too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like there was a, you know, so it made it a little more difficult.
Probably. So, but the time, it was so beautiful. Like ultimately, this doesn't make highlight reels or anything necessarily. But he got the ball out of his glove so fast to get to first and to get that out.
Yeah.
So good job by Pena.
Good job by Pena. Caratini got a home run. I mean, that's what your cleanup hitter is supposed to do, is hit bombs.
Yeah.
Caratini was the cleanup hitter last night. I mean, this lineup, man, like this team, Joe Espada, man, credit to him.
Okay, so where are we now? Where they have the same record as the Phillies. And people, I think, largely look at power rankings and everything. The Phillies are up above the Astros.
Yeah.
It doesn't make much sense at all on paper. It makes sense to us on paper that the Astros are able to win because we've been watching and we've monitored the bullpen and everything else is situational hitting.
Yeah.
And yet, I have to abandon all of my tendencies to say, hey, all right, you know, it's you got to be able to sustain this, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't want to overthink it. They just figure out ways to win.
They figure out ways to win. If we're talking about things, you know, you brought up the power rankings, like, oh, these teams are viewed as better than the Astros. This time of year, Seth, really any time during the regular season, being as good as the Astros are in one-run games – and they're the best in baseball in one-run games. That was essentially a one-run game last night. It was a one-run game. The night before was an actual one-run game, a 1-0 win. When it comes to this time of year, when it comes to the experts that are looking at teams and trying to figure out, okay, who are the teams that are this? Because the power rankings are really a ranking of who are the scariest teams. I mean, you have to have a good record to be near the top, but it's like, who's the scariest? That's why the Dodgers, for a time, they don't even have the best record in baseball, but they sit there at the top of the power rankings all year long because they have Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. They're scary. When you have as good a record as the Astros do in one-run games and you play in so many of them, for a weird reason, that's almost a checkmark against you when it comes to power rankings because people are going to say, well, that stuff evens out over time. Whereas when you get into the postseason, that's all of a sudden a thing that in a 7-game series makes the Astros really scary. They're going to be comfortable in situations like that.
I think, and there's validity to that, that there's some randomness to winning one-score games in any sport. Yeah. So it makes sense to look at it that way. I do think that there are times where there's teams that show that they have a good record in one-run games or one-score games in football or whatever. So for substantive reasons. And, you know, in football, a team that can run the ball really well, it can tend to do a good job closing out games, for instance.
Yep.
Baseball, I think the fact it's not a fluke that they're as good as they are when tied or have a lead in the sixth inning or later because their bullpen is so good.
Yeah.
So the fact that their bullpen is as good as it is makes me feel like, all right, there's a little bit more. Yes, it's kind of a coin flip when you win a one-run game, except that maybe it's a 60 or 65% chance instead of 50-50 with the Astros.
I think the bullpen is a great point. I think the other thing, too, they don't hurt themselves. You know, they play really good defense. You know, like that play that you talked about with Pena was not a routine play at all. Like, I mean, for him it's routine, but you got a base runner running in front of you. It is a stressful situation. It's two outs late in the game, and you just feel like these guys are going to make these plays. It's a really good defensive team for the most part. I mean, obviously, wherever you put Jose Altuve, all of a sudden you're not a very good defensive team. But by and large, their outfield is good defensively, aside from Altuve when he's out there. The infield, I mean, Isak Paredes is playing Gold Glove level defense this year. Pena, Dubon, and Christian Walker are guys who've actually won Gold Gloves in the last few years. Like, they don't hurt themselves. The bullpen is great, and they don't hurt themselves. And that is the October formula. You know, that is what those games look like.
The Astros right now are second in Major League Baseball in outs above average, just behind the Cardinals. Cardinals are astoundingly good in the field this year. They have 28 outs above average, and the Astros are second with 19 outs above average.
Yeah.
That part I feel good about. I feel that's substantial. Yordan is the incredibly huge X factor in getting them to a spot where they look more on paper like a championship caliber team.
Yep.
But God, if they can just retain this scrappiness and this ability to play defense and rely on relievers that maybe you didn't think that much of before the season. I'm slowly removing any of the breaks or governors I've got on my soul right now.
Yeah, so I guess
I'm ready to live. Ready to live in the world.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
Yes.
I've gone and I've shown the therapist the dolls of previous athletes who have hurt me and everything.
Seth,
and yeah, I feel good. I feel good.
Our tomorrows are never promised. Go get that Okert jersey that you've been talking about, man.
Yeah, I know.
Go get it. That's the part. I mean, you and I think we talked about this yesterday. I remember earlier this week, some point, I posed the question to you, like, okay, at what point during the season is this just who Christian Walker and Yiner Diaz are going to be? You know, we're expecting them to bounce back. I think there's a similar question to ask about the bullpen, but going the other way. Like, okay, at what point should there be a point where we feel like there's an expiration date on four or five guys who have very little history of pitching at the level they're pitching at right now? Mm-hmm. Okert, Caleb Ort, Bennett Sousa's been really good since they brought him up. You know, Hunter King, this is his second year of doing some good things in the bullpen now. Like, Brian Abreu and Josh Hader, we know who they are. So that would be my thing. I mean, we're almost to the All-Star break. I mean, I'm starting to feel like, okay, this is who these guys are. And none of these guys, I don't think, I'd have to go look at the numbers, but just to the eye test, none of them are like what Taylor King was last year, where you're like, wow, he's got a really good ERA, and he sure does get out of all these situations. And then you look at his FIP, you know, his real ERA, what his ERA should be, and it's like two runs higher than what his actual is, and yada, 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 he gets DFA'd a month into the next season. Man, Okert has been a find, man. Like, that guy has been huge in middle inning situations this year.
That's where the Astros car wash, and I don't know, we haven't talked about this at all, but Eric Neeson, the pitching director, leaving the Astros at the All-Star break to go to Wake Forest.
Yeah.
A few people asked us, hey, should we be freaking out about this? I would say, not to diminish his contributions or anything.
Yeah.
But we said the same thing when Brent Strom left, obviously. Yeah. Brent Strom was the architect of it all. I think Strom did such a great job establishing a system. It's like a great university now.
Yeah.
That they don't rely on federal funding. They are self-endowed, and they can I think they've got enough of a framework that I still feel confident they're going to be able to keep this thing rolling. Because Neeson was elevated to pitching director two or three seasons ago. You know, there's been they've shuffled people in and out, and they still remain really good at getting the best out of these guys.
I'm going to come clean here. I didn't know who he was until yesterday, so I have a hard time. I'd be very disingenuous to say that I'm losing sleep over him leaving when I didn't know who he was
until
I saw his name yesterday.
I just monitoring their organizational changes.
Yeah.
Very impressed. Somebody should write a book on that.
Yeah.
The actual game, because that can't be, and I believe it could achieve mainstream stat nerd success in that, sell like 7,000 copies or something, but that's successful in baseball nerd circles, because it's been amazing what they've been able to do.
I said Taylor King. I meant Taylor Scott. Thank you, texters. Taylor Scott.
I was wondering. I thought it was like a Taylor, some Taylor slash King scenario.
Nope,
like
I
forgot about a pitcher named Taylor.
I'm just sitting here combining my pasty relievers in the morning. Yeah. They all look the same to me. Yeah.
You gotta be careful, by the way, because, I look at you as the person that's almost always right.
Yeah.
So I just let you go. I can't fact check you on that stuff right away. I always assume immediately, like, who am I forgetting here? What?
Yeah, no, Taylor Scott. Taylor Scott.
You know, the Chronicle did it to me this morning.
What'd they do?
Because on what was a glorious Tremel Day yesterday, somebody said that Tremel was batting eighth. And I'm like, God, I could have sworn. I just, all right, I guess I'm
ninth,
screwed
right?
up.
Yeah.
Yes.
He batted ninth.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
That's a simple error, but you can't be messing with me with simple errors like this.
No.
I'm a monkey who's been trained a specific way, and I follow instructions.
Yeah, man.
I was this close to saying that he batted eighth last night. I was surprised he was there, and then he batted eighth because the Chronicle said he batted eighth.
Don't piss off the monkey, man, all right?
Yeah.
Don't piss off the monkey. All right, we're off and running. We'll circle back to the Astros. Man, we got a lot to get to today. For a light news time of year, we got a ton to get to today. Excited to be with you here until 10 a.m. All right, one thing that Rocket fans need to stop doing And also, big signing yesterday. This is a great sign for what this team is going to look like, I think, over the next year or two for the Rockets. We will get to that coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, Seth, we teased two things going into this segment, and I think, having had a chance to think about it a little bit, I think they kind of go hand in hand. The first one is a plea from me that I don't think is really going to be as necessary now as it was 24 hours ago. But one of the things that I need people to stop doing, whether it's on social media or out and about or in conversations or whatever it is, Stop bringing up James Harden coming back to Houston. Stop doing that. You sound dumb, first of all, because it's not going to happen. But number two, it would be detrimental. And Ime Udoka didn't allow it when they had the cap space to do it. He's certainly not going to go do something where they'd have to give up more assets to bring in a guy who is aging and lazy. Okay?
And aside from anything else, even if he wasn't aging, even if he wasn't lazy, he established once again this year that he cannot be trusted in the playoffs. Right. You need him off the court in the playoffs. Yeah. You want to pay him $40 million a year just so you can bench him in the playoffs because you got no chance of winning a closeout game?
That's right.
Or an elimination game if he's on the court? He does it with alarming consistency. And I don't think that gets better with age.
No.
He'll get better at doing that, but not actually performing well in important games and elimination games in the playoffs.
Yes.
Yeah, there is no part. If you're begging for them to bring James Harden back at this point, you flat out don't want to win a championship.
Yeah.
You've ignored everything that's ever happened in James Harden's career since he – I won't even include Rockets because all right, whatever. Since he left the Rockets. No, he's not – you cannot trust him in the playoffs.
No.
One of the greatest Rockets games in James Harden era history was the Clippers comeback when James Harden was on the bench.
Was on the bench, yeah. Boy, almost 10 years ago to the day, right now, almost, or to the month, yeah.
And I was so happy to see, for multiple reasons, I was happy to see Fred VanVleet's extension yesterday.
Yeah.
2 years, $50 million.
Yep.
So that puts him at $25 million a year. You had tweeted something about James Harden the other day, and somebody replied to you quite snarkily, and I did not appreciate it.
It's Aggie Doug,
Aggie Doug.
Yeah.
Aggie Doug, the capologist, apparently, was like, oh, who do you really want? Fred VanVleet at $40 million a year or James Harden at $40 million a year?
Right.
And I'm like, I don't think that's the conversation we're having.
No.
But let's hold on a second. Fred VanVleet goes, restructures his deal for $25 million per year.
Yeah,
That's a much smarter salary for the team for a guy like Fred VanVleet, who they do really, really like for a lot of the intangibles and everything else. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
And he took a pay cut, basically, to do that. I mean, in terms of average per year, certainly.
Yeah, well, and Fred likes being here, so that's a big thing. And I think in his heart of hearts, Fred probably knows that he was not a $43 million player the last couple of years. He was very good at times. Certainly great for the culture of that locker room. The team loves him. Ime Udoka loves him. Anybody that thought Fred VanVleet was not going to be coming back here to be a Rocket was not reading the tea leaves or even reading writers that are saying Fred VanVleet will definitely be back with the Rockets this year. So the team had a team option on him for about $45 million. And the mechanics of it are they decline that option and then immediately they're re-signing him to, as Seth said, it's a two-year $50 million deal, so a much more reasonable salary, certainly as the Rockets are looking at the salary cap, the luxury tax, these aprons that they have above the luxury tax that all of a sudden constrict you from doing anything if you get above certain levels of salary. The Rockets are right now under the salary cap, even with Kevin Durant factored in. Raphael Stone has done an amazing job, not only of putting the roster together, but allowing them to still be able to make moves because of where they are with the cap, not to go too deep into the NBA salary cap and the CBA because you'll drive off the road if we get too nerdy about it. But the Rockets are in a great spot to still be able to use their mid-level exception, which is about $14 million. They're in real good position to be able to do extensions with Tari Eason and Jabari Smith Jr. if they want to this offseason, like they did with Jalen Green and Alperen Şengün last offseason. As far as Fred VanVleet goes, it's a two-year, $50 million deal, so $25 million a year. It does have a player option after this year, so a little like the Alex Bregman situation up in Boston. If you know Fred has a good year, he can opt out of his deal, and if you look around the league, there's only two teams that actually have salary cap space right now heading into free agency. Yeah. Like a lot of these teams are operating over the cap right now because they've re-signed a lot of their own guys, et cetera. Next offseason, there should be a lot more teams that do have money to spend. So if Fred has a good year this year and he wants to go do right by himself and his family and go see what's out there, he's got the opportunity to do that.
This is the really cool thing is that Fred VanVleet helped the Rockets out in a couple ways here. One is, A, they pushed the option back, where originally the option was, what, right immediately after the season?
4 days after the Rockets season ended, yeah.
And which the player wants that because, okay, the team has to make a decision, either give you a new contract or cut you right then so you can be a free agent and have the full free agency period. He agreed to move it back, which gave the Rockets time to get their ducks in a row and make their plans and ultimately trade for Kevin Durant. You know, who knows exactly what they wanted the outcome to be at the time. But that helped the team out. And then now in this contract is very, very team friendly. And it looks like one that a player who's getting up there in years and says, man, I just want to be, I want to be on that kite in that type of environment again. I want this championship experience again.
No doubt. That to me is the biggest takeaway from this, Seth, is that the veterans that are in the building with the Rockets, two in particular this offseason, are signing deals where they're working collaboratively with the team to structure their deals in a way that makes it easier for them to do business. Steven Adams signed a three-year, $39 million deal with the Rockets. Steven Adams might have been able to get more on the open market if he went out there. Now, again, there's very few teams with salary cap space out there, so who knows? But he played when they needed him. In the postseason, he was playing well above the level of a $13 million player in the NBA today. Steven Adams was a difference maker for this team in the playoffs. He signs a three-year, $39 million deal with a team where the salaries actually go down each year. So, you know, as he's aging, his salary is going down.
It's the Altuve contract.
The Altuve-type contract, exactly. Fred VanVleet signs a deal, which I think is a very reasonable deal. You know, he 2 years, $50 million. The fact that these veteran guys who they've brought in are working collaboratively with the team, I think is a huge statement on the culture they built in the building and how those guys feel about their chances of getting a ring in their twilight years here.
And you asked me the question a day or two ago about Kevin Durant and, hey, what are you going to do if do you expect him to get the max that he's allowed to be paid, or do you think he takes a little bit of a haircut to help the team out? I said, I'm trying not to think about it because I am 100% cool with it if he just takes as much money as possible. But if he does take a team-friendly deal, if he plays at a discount to help fill out the roster, that aids me greatly in my decision to get a Kevin Durant tattoo.
Yeah.
That'll be, yeah. And I'll do that. I'll get like the one Jalen Green has of his lady there. Like full, I'll get full portrait size on my back.
On your back.
You know? Yeah.
On your back.
Isn't that where his...
I think it is. I was just curious where you were putting yours. Yeah, on your back, huh? Yeah.
That's not actually going to happen. No, I have an asterisk. I don't know if people can see the asterisks on the YouTube.
No. I'm just wondering if you had to them. Yeah. If you had to put one somewhere, you lose a bet and you've got to put a Kevin Durant tattoo on your body somewhere, but you get to choose where it is. Would it be your back? Where would you put it?
I don't. Okay, where would I want my Kevin Durant tattoo?
If you had to put
a normal size Kevin Durant.
If you and I had a bet and you lost, I would honestly.
I'd be really hard pressed to ever feel good about having a portrait of a man who isn't a family member on my anywhere on my body.
Right.
I'd probably. What's the least visible part for the average man?
Like well, the upper but
thigh. Well, you're. But that's also a little too close to the nether regions.
Unless you're into some things I'm not aware of, your butt cheek is the one that really only Brandy is probably going to see. You know.
Yeah.
And you know.
I had a teammate in the NFL who's from Texas. I won't say his name because I know he's got friends who live in Houston. His friends who live in Houston will know who I'm talking about. But when he was in college. he'd been dating this girl for about 3 months.
No.
And one night
he did not
had a went on a bender one night, and you know what? No, wait, I'm mixing up stories here. So this is my my friend wasn't the one with the girlfriend. This was another guy. So two stories for one. Here, real quick. There was this one guy, not the guy from Texas, who had been dating a girl for like not even 3 months. It was less than that. And went out.
Got ink.
Got drunk one night. Got a tattoo. She sees the tattoo. Immediately dumps him.
Yeah.
Like whoa, we're not in that deep yet. Or that far.
Not to sidetrack you. What was the tattoo? Was it like?
It was something like her name.
Her
or
name.
Something.
Okay.
It was really, really dumb.
Gotcha.
So my other friend. This is a cautionary tale against getting... Never make a decision, a major life decision, when you've been drinking, including getting a tattoo for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, if you got 29 tattoos, do whatever.
Knock yourself
out. So, my friend came from... He's from West Texas. Old school father, you know, you better not have no earring in this household type. No tattoos, anything.
Oh, boy.
So, he wanted to get tattoos, but he knew his father couldn't... He couldn't let his father know, so he got... It looked so dumb. He had one was his school logo. The other one was like his high school logo, but right on the front of his upper thigh.
No.
Like thigh pads almost.
What's the
but
point?
Up where tighty whiteys would cover it up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you're, dude, I mean, not to judge, but if you're somebody, if you're routinely out in gear that people are going to see that tattoo, is only your second worst problem. Like, you know, like if that means you're out and about in tighty whiteys in a Speedo quite a bit. If people
That's
were able
right.
to
Not
see
even
that tighty
whiteys. No, tighty whiteys would have covered it up. He would have had to been wearing a thong of some sort.
Like where your hip has that little point right there that juts out, like that.
Maybe boxer briefs. Boxer briefs.
Yeah,
sort of. That's
yeah.
What
like
it, yeah, boxers. They would have been covered up by boxers.
Okay.
I'm thinking of boxer briefs.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So. Dude.
So yeah, but so if he was wearing a banana hammock, then you could see those. But otherwise, it was largely those tattoos were for the benefit of guys in the shower woman here or there,
what
I suppose.
The hell?
You know?
You don't have any ink, do you?
No, I don't. I'm still contemplating.
I don't either. I do think about it sometimes, you know?
I'd like to. Yeah. I just don't have. I've gotten to the point where now I feel like when you get a tattoo for the first time when you're 50, it should probably mean I don't want to end up going. I don't want to wake up one morning with a Grateful Dead dancing bear on my ankle or something. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's what I chose.
That's a much safer bumper sticker than a tattoo.
All right. Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So yeah, good job, Rockets, getting Fred VanVleet locked in, and no more James Harden. That was the point of that segment. If you're looking for the why of that segment. It's no more James Harden. Yeah,
and get your put a little bit more thought into your first tattoo.
That's right. That's right. That was the big message from that. All right,
do it when you're sober.
Yeah, then that's good advice. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Yeah, someone's saying Russell Westbrook also. No, Russ. No, we're not getting the Oklahoma City 3 back together. We got Kevin Durant, and we're moving forward, all right?
Why is everybody ignoring Carmelo Anthony in this discussion?
Or Serge Ibaka.
I'm so tired of people pouring hate on beloved Houston Rocket Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah. Somewhere Serge Ibaka is like, I was on those OKC teams, too. I could use a ring. All right, headlines. Astros win last night. Hey, Texans made their training camp announcement yesterday. We've got all the details for you on that. These are important details if you want to go to training camp. We've got dates and times for you. So we'll do that in headlines coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
Victor hits it high, hits it deep, he hits it up on the train tracks. Train number 17 has just left Union Station, 2-0 Astros.
Oh, give me that Caratini with a twist.
He did do it. I didn't think he did that, Blum, on that one.
His little catchphrase, catchphrase.
I missed the catchphrase. I thought he didn't do it. I thought maybe he was workshopping the Caratini with a twist last time when Victor hit a home run, and then maybe it didn't hit. But he did do it again. Okay, well, there you go. That was a big home run last night. Victor Caratini, little insurance. And Josh Hader comes in and closes the door in the ninth inning. 2-0, the final score. The Astros beat the Philadelphia Phillies. Shutout for the second night in a row. Colton Gordon was excellent last night. 5 innings, 4 hits, no walks, no runs, obviously, and 4 strikeouts. They made the point on the broadcast that if there were a little bigger margin, they might have kept Colton Gordon in the game because he only threw 80 pitches, I think, and they might have kept him in for another inning if they had a little bit of cushion. But I thought Joe Espada made a good decision there. Like, hey, it's only a 1-0 game at the time. Let's not have the rookie have to go through a really good batting order for a third time when we've got a pretty decently rested bullpen. Let's bring the bullpen in and you know, we'll use – this is a good spot here to use some of these guys and burn a day of usage on guys like Okert and Sousa and such.
Yeah. Taylor Trammell. So last night is Taylor Trammell Day. Whoever our listener is that takes note of these things, remind us that that Taylor Trammell appeared for the Astros in left field, and they won the game.
1-0 with him in the lineup, yeah.
I you know what, though? It is a flashback to January or February when one of the common things people are saying is, what are they doing in the outfield? Because right now, Taylor Trammell is the starting left fielder.
Yeah.
And that was a sign of things not being so hot. And then all of a sudden, lo and behold, last night, Taylor Trammell, after a long, mysterious calf injury yet again in a Houston athlete, comes out and doesn't do much except that made a nice play at the wall that Altuve definitely would have mistimed. Because when it comes
jumping
to jumping, Altuve has a proper jump timing eludes Altuve.
That's
right
a
now.
That's a big sore spot. It's definitely a blind spot for Altuve. And Trammell also ran into the wall hard on one that he didn't get. I'm like, oh, you're finally getting your chance, kid. Don't murder yourself on that left field wall.
He's a lefty. So hey, you're throwing a lefty in the lineup. You got some options there.
Shake things up in the lineup a little bit. Colton Gordon was excellent. Here's Joe Espada on the Astros starting pitcher.
Yeah, I thought Gordon was really good. I think he established his fastball early, busted all his righties in with it. He did a really nice job there in the fifth, kind of pitch out of trouble. Gave us 5 strong innings.
Yeah, got a strikeout on Trey Turner to close out the fifth. And Joe Espada said, you know what? Drop the mic, kid. We're taking you out. You can drop the mic right there. 5 shutout innings, and then the bullpen comes in. Here's Espada on the performance of the bullpen.
Anybody out, you have to. In today's game, with a 3-batter rule, you have to get righties and lefties out. And those guys have been really good for us the whole entire year. Brian King pitching out of that jam in the eighth, punching out Baum and Castellanos to finish the inning. That was huge. I rely on those guys. Those guys have been really good, and we're gonna trust them, and I'm gonna continue to give them the ball.
The biggest, if I had to go back, Seth, to February, I mean, you and I were there for a week. You know, we were covering spring training and talked a ton of it while we were down there. I felt like the two biggest concerns for this team going into the season were the bullpen not named Abreu or Hader. And then the outfield was kind of a mess in spring training. Like, oh, my God, who are they going to get to play the outfield? This is before we knew Cam Smith was going to be a right fielder for them and that he was going to be competent playing right field. This is when we thought the outfield was left to right going to be Dubon, Myers, and Chaz McCormick in right field. And the outfield, neither of those things, the bullpen or the outfield, have been a major concern. Not only have they not been a major concern, the bullpen's been a big catalyst for where they are right now. The outfield's just been fine. It's just not been a negative. Christian Walker at the plate and Yiner Diaz not being able to hit, and Altuve's defense, wherever he's playing, outfield or second base, have been bigger concerns. Like, Jake Myers has been fine. Cam Smith has been fine. They've played at a look, we're talking about your 6 and 7 hole hitters for most of the year, and the two have played really, really high caliber defense. We don't come in every morning worried about the outfield and the bullpen at all, for now, at least. That has not been an issue, either of those
things.
No,
and I think Brian King last night, because you and I have a conversation probably at least once a day, kind of up along the lines of, all right, can you really genuinely trust this bullpen to be as good as they have?
Yeah.
And it's not like Brian King's numbers on the season are incredible or anything. So the last 3 games, he's put a bit of He's put a bit of a scare into you.
Yeah.
These last three games. And then he had that real bad one against, was it against the Rays?
Yes.
A few weeks ago where he let up five runs.
Yes.
Yeah.
That so skews your numbers when you're a reliever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
like one bad outing will kill you. Yeah.
Yeah. So in the last three games, he's had hits in every one of them, and he's allowed two earned runs.
Yeah.
So it's not catastrophic or anything, but the bases got loaded last night. And Christian Walker fields to load the bases. Christian Walker caught a slow ground ball at first, and there was nobody to throw to.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Like, maybe go cover first base, Brian King.
I'm going to stick up for Brian King on that play because Walker fielded the ball. There was first and third, and Walker fields the ball and kind of expected the runner from third to come home. So Walker kind of pump fakes towards home. And King like stop drops and rolls so he gets out of the way. So he was running to cover first base, but he looks up and sees Walker getting ready to throw home, and now he's just trying to get out of the way.
Yeah.
And so that was just I wanted to blame somebody for that. I wanted to blame Walker because he's not been good this year. I'm like I just can't blame anybody. It was just a weird play.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think you're gonna look home to freeze the runner and then do what you normally do. But yeah.
Training camp for the Texans announced yesterday. Training camp dates announced. 7 open practices. Most of them pretty front-loaded. The first 6 of them are all in the last week of July and the first week of August. The one that you're going to want to get tickets to is if you have a chance to pick, because tickets become available at 10 a.m. today on Ticketmaster. Season ticket members have had their first crack at it. There's still many, many left for the general public. They'll be made available on Ticketmaster at 10 a.m. this morning. So give yourself a reminder right now at 9:55 to get to a web browser somewhere to get in line. But August 14th is the one you're going to want to get. That's the joint practice with the Carolina Panthers. The joint practices are always have a little bit of extra juice. The other ones are great. The other ones are fun. If you're a Texan fan, it's must go to. But 7 open practices. They just announced yesterday. They also announced, Seth, 4 practices over the course of the week of August 4th. They're going back to West Virginia, the Greenbrier, for a week leading up to the first preseason game in Minnesota. So they're going to get out of the summer heat.
Yeah, it's like they're going off to summer camp.
Yes.
They can go whitewater rafting and maybe rent some four-wheelers or something.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good old time. And then they go immediately from West Virginia to Minnesota to play in that game. So.
Yep.
This is a little bit like last year when, then they had 2 games. They had Chicago and then the Steelers, and they just stayed in Cleveland the week in between.
Yep.
So that made travel sense and everything. It's an extended road trip where they're going to go off to West Virginia, get off in the cool climate. D'Amico likes he said last year he really liked having that kind of summer camp type
camaraderie.
Feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody just all closed
loves
in,
that.
Fewer distractions. So it's. They're not making as big a deal out of it as when the Texans went to West Virginia a few years ago.
No. They made a big deal out of it then.
And it was for an extended – that was for
3
two
weeks.
Or 3 weeks,
three
right?
Weeks.
Oh, it was 3 weeks. It was like the whole camp was
up in
West Virginia.
3 weeks. I remember that because each show got to go for a week, the morning, the midday, and the afternoon show from here. We all took a week and went. I will be up there in West Virginia for those practices.
So and I possibly will be. We're waiting to see exactly what happens.
Gotcha, yeah. So Sports Radio 610 will have – feet on the ground and eyes on the practices up at West Virginia. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Our boss. Oh, go ahead.
Just real quick to close 2 joint practices, one with Carolina here, one with Detroit in Detroit a week later. What were you going to say?
Oh, nothing. We got to go.
Gotcha. Okay. Rocket signed Fred VanVleet, 2 years, $50 million. Jock Landale might be getting waived here to open up some cap space. There's your Rockets news. All right. Into the 7 o'clock hour. Hey, speaking of the Texans, major props from a major rival of the Houston Texans through the years. We will have that. We'll have a lot more Texan sound for you as well. Deontay Johnson speaks. Oh, you got to hear this. Former Texan Deontay Johnson. We'll have that for you in the 7 o'clock hour as well. Stay there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.